Just raise your hand if you're a visitor today. Praise the Lord. Gene, come on. Yeah, yeah, yeah. God is such a good God this morning.
Amen.
You know, I've been to Brisbane, I've been to Sydney, I've preached in churches over there. There's nothing like the worship in this church.
That's right.
You know, whenever I go out like that, I miss this house. Because when you worship, you are touching God and God is touching you. God loves you, and when you come and worship before Him, He touches you in whatever situation that you're going through. Amen. Amen. You know, I'm going to continue from where Pastor Ben left off last week.
Hallelujah.
My title this morning, that we are called to war. Come on, say to your neighbor, we are called to war.
We are called to war.
What does that mean to you?
Yes, to me.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Now you would know that my text this morning would be from Ephesians.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
I just love this church, man. Yes, we are called to war. Ephesians 6, verse 10. Can we go there in the Bible, please? Can you put it up? I think I've sent it through. Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Hallelujah. Finally, my brethren. This is Paul as he was writing the book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians was written almost about 25 to 30 years after Jesus was born. So the church have been alive. The church have been around for almost about 20 years. And Paul is now exhorting the church. He's exhorting people that have been born again. He's exhorting people that have been fired up by God. Exhorting people that are moving in the power of God. Exhorting people that are following, are just hearers and doers of the word of God. And now he's exhorting them.
Hallelujah.
Now he's coming to a place where he says, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. What does it mean to you? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Now, when you are born again, or the day you came to Christ, your sins were forgiven, and your condemnation was removed. You were made a new creation. As it says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, when someone comes to Christ, he becomes new. All things are passed away, and he becomes a new creation. When the Holy Spirit invaded your life and made you responsive to God, you became part of God's army.
Amen.
God's family.
Amen.
You became a child of God.
Amen.
Amen. You were transported from darkness to light.
Yep. Hallelujah.
Now aggravating your old master, Satan. As we just heard before during the communion, everyone was born in iniquity. Every one of us, hallelujah, that was born of a woman on this earth was born in iniquity. You're born in sin. So you needed something to take you out from sin. And I thank God for communion message this morning. As you guys have already heard, it is the blood.
Amen.
It is the blood of Jesus that cleansed you. Cleansed, that means a clean slate. No longer remembered by God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now, in the garden, God had to make a killing. It was a covering that he put on both Adam and Eve because the leaves didn't have any blood, as you heard. God saw right through what they did for their own covering. So, friends, you cannot cover your own self. Hallelujah. You cannot cover your own self. God had to do it. He had to do a killing himself. It was the first killing ever recorded in the Word of God, in the book of Genesis, Genesis 3. If you go into your book, please, I want you to, have you got a pen? Everybody got a pen? Take it out. Take it out. Take it out. Because whatever that I'm going to be sharing today, I want you to take note of it, especially the scriptures. Go home and read it again. Go home and verify it with what I've just shared with you. Because the Word of God is the truth. Amen. If I spoke some lie today, or if I spoke, go and verify it with the Word of God. That's what I want you to do. Pick up your pens, pick up your little papers, start writing down the scriptures. Amen. In the garden, God made the first killing. So the covering was an animal skin that was killed and blood was on it. Hallelujah. Right through from Adam until the day you gave your life to Jesus. You have transported yourself from the kingdom of darkness to now the kingdom of light. You had a master that ruled and reigned in your life. His name is Satan. Now you have been transported because of your decision, because of the Holy Spirit functioning in you and you giving your life to Jesus. Maybe when someone reached out to you in a crusade, or maybe someone shared with you, you gave your life to Jesus. Hallelujah. From then you have transported yourself from the kingdom of darkness. You have now declared that he is no longer your king. He is no longer going to be making decisions for you or be your boss. I'm changing boss. I'm now coming to Jesus Christ. He is now my king, my God, my savior, my redeemer, my leader. He is the only one for me now. As you note in the scripture, the way it came, it says like this. Can we go back to verse 10? 6:10, please. You note that, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Why did it come before the covering? Because we'd be hoping that the covering would be strengthening us. But no, he's speaking to people that are already born again, walking in the light, moving in the power of God. But now he's exhorting them. Finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord. Paul ran the race. And he completed the race. What did he do? He ran. He went for it. Hallelujah. There's a lot of things that I'd like to correct today. Even I've mentioned this myself. Just give it to God. He will sort it out. Hallelujah. Just give it to him. He will sort it out. But according to this scripture, he is exhorting you to be strong. He's exhorting you to be powerful, to move in the might of God. Not your own strength, but in his. How do I do that? How do I do that? How do I move in the power of God? Hallelujah. That's why you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Jesus says, go and wait. The book of Acts, go and wait. Telling his disciples, don't do anything yet. Go. Go and wait. They all went and waited in the upper room. What were they doing? They were together. They were breaking bread. They were sharing with one another. Hallelujah. And the Holy Spirit came like as tongues of fire and wind, that it shook the room that they were in. And each one of them was filled with the Holy Spirit. Tongues on fire was each on each of them. Hallelujah. What was happening right there and then? What was happening? They were being empowered. They were being empowered. Each one of them were being empowered by waiting on God. They didn't know what was going to happen that day. They were just being told to wait. So their obedience, hallelujah, hallelujah, I can feel the anointing here this morning. The anointing to break every situation that you go through. You see, this scripture is saying to you, be strong. Be strong in the Lord. He's saying, brethren, he says, my people, come on. Be strong in the power and the might of God. Hallelujah. It is only the Holy Ghost in you, the Holy Spirit that is in you, that will enable that. Because when you were born a sinner, you couldn't help it. You were doing wrong and wrong and wrong all the time because you couldn't make a decision. You haven't had a power to come out. I always say that we were saved by grace. This is my version, that grace was the power for you to say no to the devil. He empowered you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. 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 You were transported from darkness to light, as it's found in Ephesians 5:8. Now, aggravating your old master Satan. Now, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit, as it says in Ephesians 1, verse 11 to 14, who is our guarantee of our inheritance. When Christ sealed us with the Holy Spirit, we are now identified with him. Amen? Now, take note of all these scriptures I'm going to read. This is your identity in Christ. Romans 3:24, we are declared not guilty of sin. That is your identity. Romans 8 verse 1. There is no condemnation. You are for those who are in Christ Jesus. Romans 8 verse 2. We are free from the vicious circle of sin and death. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 2. We are acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 30. We are pure and holy. This is your identity. Come on. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 22. We will rise again. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 3, 17. We are free from trying to be saved by being good enough. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 5, 17. You are a new person. 2 Corinthians 5, 21. We are full of God's goodness. Now there's many more. Hallelujah. Even with those identity that I've read to you, it puts you together with Christ, with the power of the Holy Ghost leading you. Now God is talking to a church like this. Paul was talking to a church like this. The church had been around for years. The church that had been hearing the message of God. My goodness. The message in this place is direct from the throne room all the time.
Amen.
And if you are not hearers, if you are just hearers only and not doers, I pray that you become doers today.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
The Bible speaks clearly about the devil and his main objective. There is one objective that he wants. He wants to kill you. He wants to destroy you. He wants to annihilate you. That's his main job, 24-7. 24-7, that's his job. So if you are sitting in a place where you're saying, I'm okay, you're not. Like Pastor Ben always say, you are like having that big sign that Target has over there, the Target. Whenever you're a born-again Christian, that Target is on you. He is against you. He wants you. He wants to destroy you. He wants to destroy your vision. He wants to destroy your job, your marriage, and everything about it. But I thank God that now Paul is exhorting the church. Come on. Church. Hallelujah. Just imagine if Paul is standing here today and he's exhorting you. Come on, church. We're going to rise up. We're going to move in the might of his power. You and I know because he saved you. He translated you from darkness to the light. Many of you have had miracles. You know the power of God. Hallelujah. Now he is exhorting the church. Why was it in front to be strong rather than thinking that when you're going to get the covering, the armor of God, that you'll get the power? No, 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 no. You already know the power. You have operated in power. Now he's exhorting you to move in that power. Hallelujah. A lot of us, I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, and that's where it ends. Are you a born again Christian? Yes, I am. And that's where it ends. The devil comes and runs amok in your life, and you come running to a pastor, and I'll send you right back. Go and look into the word and pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's his main job. He wants to steal you. He wants to kill you. He wants to destroy you. That's his main purpose. I pray right now. What struggle are you going through? Each one of us are going through a struggle. Hallelujah. Remember, Paul was talking to Christians here. Paul was talking to people that have been with God. And he's talking about a struggle? Oh, no, no, no. I am cool. I am born again. I have been born again for 30 years. Nothing touches me. Nah. Come on. God is for me, then who can be against me?
Amen, hallelujah.
Amen, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now remember, when a baby is born, he learns how to walk. Who does it? The baby. By the help of the parent. As you start to walk and stumble and fall, the more falls you do, the more you will become stronger.
Amen.
As you start to go with the guidance of that mother.
Amen.
A lot of us, you know, a lot of us are like this. No, this is too hard for me, man. As you're going through pain. Now, as I'm talking about pain, I had the same messages today. I messaged Pastor Ben. I almost couldn't walk here during prayer meeting yesterday morning because both of my knees was just giving way in pain, excruciating pain. I struggled to come here. After they prayed for me, I went home in pain. And then I messaged Pastor Ben. Pastor Ben, you just get ready. You might have to be preaching tomorrow. And he wrote to me, he said, Joe, don't allow that pain. Because the moment you give in to that pain, the devil will continue to remind you about it all the time. That's the reason why I'm standing here this morning. You see, I overcame my struggle. If I struggle like that, then how about you? Come on. We are going to be real today. Each one of us have walked in here. Yeah, I can see your smiley faces suited up. Oh, you look like a man of God. But what are you going through on the inside? Hey? What are you really going through on the inside? Only the inside is where God can reach out to and touch and deliver and remove. Woo! Hallelujah. You know, I think I'm losing weight. My glasses is falling off my face.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, becoming a Christian or a follower of Christ is not the end of your struggle, but it is the beginning, ladies and gentlemen. Before Christ and with Satan, your master, your struggle goes around a vicious circle, no way out, doomed forever. Now, but in Christ, your fight, listen to this, is from victory.
Amen.
You're fighting from a place called victory.
Amen.
Because the one who did it for you, Jesus Christ,
Amen.
Was victorious. He made a public spectacle of the devil.
Amen.
He whooped him around and said, give it to me.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Hand it over.
Amen. Hallelujah.
They were celebrating. They thought that they had done it. Jesus died. Yay! Yay. The Son of God is dead. Little did they know, he came and entered into their domain. And he said, hand it over. He must have got a shock of his life when he saw Jesus Christ there. Give it to me. Give it to me, the keys. Thank you.
Oh.
Give it to me. Hallelujah. Satan was shocked. You know, public spectacle means being degraded in front of many. He was degraded in front of his cohorts by Jesus Christ. Come on. That's mine. It doesn't belong to you. See you later. That is the reason why I say you are coming from a place called victory. Because he's already been victorious for you.
Amen.
That is the reason why he's exhorting the church. Be strong in the might of his word and power. Be strong. Be strong. Because he knows, he's saying, come on, this is after 20-something years and they're hearing this message for the first time. Christians. John 16, verse 33. These things I have spoken unto you, that ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world.
Amen.
Jesus has done it for you.
Yes, sir.
So whatever struggles that is sideways, which means the world, is already overcome it for you. I don't know what struggle you came in here for this morning. Only you know. It might be sickness. Maybe the doctor have written you a script, a thing that says you are dying in 14 or dying in 7 days. Or you've got this thing that is incurable. Maybe the doctors have written you that. Yes. Those are the research and the result of people that have studied on this earth. It is a fact, but it's not the truth. The truth is the word of God. The truth is the word of God. Hallelujah. I'm still only page one. I've got 8 pages. Gonna be a good day. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because most of us will be removed from those things that have been aggravating us, holding us down after today. Amen. Right now, we are in the midst of a supernatural war. It's a war of good and evil. It's a war between the children of Christ and the Antichrist. It's a war between light and darkness. It's a supernatural war. It's a fight to the finish. This supernatural is fight to the finish. You are not allowed to give in. Because the one who died for you did not. Come on, come on, come on, come on. When he was whipped, when he was being tormented by the Roman soldiers, the most evil thing was done to him. He was spat at. He was whipped 39 times for your sicknesses and diseases, then, now, and yet to come. His beard was being mauled, and he was bloodied all over. Because he wants you to be victorious. He wants you to be victorious today. Whatever situation that has been bogging you down, you rise up against it because he's already done it for you. Hallelujah. Took that. You know, when the muscles in your back has been taken by the whip, it's called the cat with nine tails. It took out all the flesh and the muscles, all the muscle in the back here. How would he have carried on that cross to carry it, to endure the mount where he stood and died? When he was on the cross, you and I was on his mind. That's exactly what was happening. I'm taking this. I'm not going to buckle. I'm not going to. My brothers and sisters, he endured. And he died on the cross so that you and I may come from a place called victory. You are not a loser. The devil will try and condemn you. He will try and get you. You know, when Jesus went down and got the key, he did not destroy them. He had all the power to smash all those devils. He had all the power to call his angels, round them up. He had all the power to tell the angels, smash them where they're supposed to be. But he didn't. It was because of you and I have been given the opportunity that you may rise up the one against the one that have been your boss, that have been running and ruining your life all these years. You are victorious. You're coming from a place of victory. Paul says, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Fight the good fight of faith. We are more than conquerors through Christ. Paul says in Colossians 2:15, that on that cross, Jesus was spoiling powers and principalities and making a public show, public spectacle of them. The message is that Christ went to the cross to defeat Satan. Now, Satan has been defeated. Why are you acting like that Satan is still today? You're going to change that. Because that's what the word of God says, who you are in Christ. Amen. If he's been whipping around, flopping around, he said, today, stop. Stop now. I'm rising up because my King, my Savior, my Lord had done it all for me. Hallelujah. Becoming a follower or being a Christian is not the end of your struggle. Hallelujah. Let's read the next scripture from there, John 10. Let's go to the next one. Ephesians 10, 6 verse 10. Let's go to 11. Ephesians 10, verse 11. 6. Ephesians 6, verse 11.
Amen.
Okay. Now, after that, now we say, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the evil, the wiles of the devil. Wow. So now, Paul is saying to the church, come on, you rise up and stand and move in the power of God and his might. Now put on. This is the first time that church was hearing this message. After 20-something years. Put on the whole armor of God. You notice whole armor. Pastor Ben was talking about last week. A lot of us only wear the helmet of salvation. My salvation is just enough for me. Boom, just the helmet. What about here? This is all a target for the devil, from here to here. And you wonder, and you start turning around and blaming God. How come? He salvaged me, he saved me. God is saying, put on my whole armor. And you notice that the armor does not belong to you. It belongs to God. Now, the amazing thing about it, he not only came down, he left his throne as a king, and he came and died as a man so that you and I may be saved. He rose up again from the dead, and he's seated on the right-hand side of the Father. From when he's sitting now, you are in that position of victory, sealed with the Holy Spirit, as it says in Ephesians 1. Look at what he has given us. Not only has given us life forevermore, one, sealed with the Holy Spirit, two. Number three, he's now giving us, moving in his power and his might. And number four, he's now giving us his armor. Whoa, we've got so many things that he has given us that we may be standing on this earth here, going against that evil one that when he comes back again, that he will deal with. But he's given you the power and the strength to deal with him now. Amen.
Yeah.
He comes to steal, kill, and destroy you. That's his main purpose. The struggle is real. There is a real enemy that we face, but most of us are big ignorant about it. You know, there's no devil. It's okay. You know, things that are happening in the home. Fighting. Yeah, come on. The Bible says, what's the next verse? Verse 12. Listen to this. Verse 12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Every time you are having a problem with someone, you are wrestling against one another, you are having a situation, especially as a couple, married husband and a wife, if you are empowered by God, moving in God, then the devil is trying to break you. Amen. He says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Wrestle means it's a tussle. It's a tussle. That means it involves energy. Hallelujah. I want you to hear the version that I have. This is the Life Application Bible. Bear with me, please. For we are not fighting against people made of flesh and blood, but against persons with bodies, the evil rulers of the unseen world, those mighty satanic beings and great evil princes of darkness who rule this world, and against huge numbers of wicked spirits in the spirit world. It's talking about these fiery things. That if you are being ignorant about it, that this guy's got you. We got to be coming and standing up against this thing here now. If this is what Paul is saying, then we got to rise up from wherever we are. If Paul is saying that we are facing a wrestle, it's not against flesh and blood, but against principle. We are fighting against unseen things. So, you know, the saying goes, out of sight, out of mind. If I don't see it, it doesn't worry me. No, it has to. Because your warfare is against the unseen. Amen. Amen. Just the other day they were having a party across from my house. And all of a sudden I heard a tussle. Yelling at one another, maybe beefing one another. You know, yes, okay, they fueled themselves up maybe with alcohol. Then the devil jumps in and says, come on, smash one another. That's my job. You do it. God did not just save us for the devil to kick us around again. No. Our problem, church, is the unseen enemy that Paul is talking about in this Ephesians. That there is a struggle, a wrestling, a tussle, a thing that is going through your life. It is from the unseen world and is trying to get you. Listen. He does not want you saved. He does not want you with Christ. He wants you with him because you were with him before. He was your old boss. Now, if I was a business owner and I was running a business, all of a sudden, well, somebody came and just took all my workers, what would I do? Excuse me? Those are my workers. That is what the reason why you are facing this struggle, because when you gave your life to God, you have that big target sign on you. He's at you. He wants you. But you are more than that. You are greater than the situation that you're going through right now. Whether it is family problem, whether it is financial problem, whether it is sickness, he's greater than that. You are greater than that through him. Yeah. Now, this book of Ephesians, Paul was identifying four fields. It was the problem with the mind, the home, and the workplace, and the church. Hallelujah. Now, let me go direct. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, eh? It's not the people. Now, can we read from 11? Verse 11, eh? Okay, that's 12. Let's leave it there, 12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Verse 13, please. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God. Again, he's repeating to us. He said it on verse 12, in verse 11. 12, and then now it's 13. He says, therefore, take up, because of the particular reason that I've just told you, you are fighting against this situation. Now I want you to take this whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. That you may be able to stand. That means in whatever situation, in Fiji we have a lot of hurricanes. I come from Fiji. We have a lot of wind that blow. At the end of the wind, there are houses that are down. Because it went down because it could not withstand the pressure and the speed and the strength of the wind. It went down. So people have got this thing that have done by the builders, whatever, if you're a surveyor or something like that. They've made it that it would withstand winds. So now houses over there, when wind comes, it stands. Until a Category 5 came a few years ago. Yeah. Hallelujah. Verse 14, please. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Why wasn't the breastplate in front of the belt? Because when you gird your belt, when you put your belt, it's the breastplate that is harnessed onto the belt to hold it firmly. Now, you'll notice there, stand and having girded in your waist, truth. That truth is a small T, not a capital T. It's not about God. It's about your truth. How? Integrity. When someone is not looking, when God is not looking, when everybody's not looking, what are you doing? That's the truth he is talking about. It is your truth. It is your truth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He says, put in your waist the belt of your truth. Hallelujah. That means he says, fasten it so that your down. What's the belt for? Yeah. For women, it's only a show. They put it on the top. Sometimes, yeah. Well, if that belt is not fastened properly, there will be shame. No, I'm being serious here. You'll be living a life that is shameful because you are not being truthful with God. She says, belt your truth up properly. In other words, if a lion knocks at your door, you say, nah. If you go to a bank and there's a pen sitting there, and you say, I'm going to take that pen. Nah. I'm not going to steal that pen. That pen belongs to the bank. Now, how many of you have got those pens? Sometimes you might say it's compliment. No, it's not. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Now, there are five areas that we will engage in a struggle. The first one is deception. You get deceived. Satan's first scheme in the garden. Did God really say? Did God really say that you're going to die? Just trying to deceive her. Confuser. Hallelujah. Psalm 51 verse 6, it says like this. Psalm 51 is a psalm of repentance of David. It says, what you require is truth in my inmost being. You use the word as the mirror of your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3 and 5. Use the word as a self-examination. Eh? That's the first, this the struggle that you find. You get deceived. All of us, we get deceived. But now, you have the victory. You say, no, I'm not going to be deceived anymore by you. This is a thing that is just like a cycle to me. It comes around and around again every time I put it to a stop, and then maybe a few weeks later, it comes again. Now, Joseph, when Potiphar's wife was trying to engage sexual interactions with him, the Bible says he fled. He fled from it. Who did the fleeing? Joseph. Sometimes we do this, oh no, I leave it to God. God, deal with that person right now. No. When you start to see it, you flee. Joseph's fleeing ended him up in prison. Now, from the prison to the king's palace. See, a lot of us, we are scared. We can flee, but we're scared of the prison part. Imprison your lusts. Put it in that bar. Hallelujah. Deception. Next one is compromise. The twisting of the word of God. You're compromising. The word of God says this, but you're saying, ah, I can do this because this is the way I interpret this. You know, how can I interpret this again? Forgive so that my Father will forgive you. How can I interpret that again? Ah, no, no. I'll give it to God. God will deal with it. Forgive, it says. If you forgive, who's doing the forgiving? You. For the Father to forgive you. A lot of times, they say, ah, I'll just give it. God, guys, just let God and let go. No, you deal with it. Amen. Amen. Complacency. Another one. What will I benefit from this? What will I benefit from this? When Eve heard about you will be like God. Whoa, this is the first time I'm hearing this. This sounds very, very interesting. What will happen if I become like God? After the word of God was twisted. Immediately, she became complacent. What will I benefit from this? She was now thinking of what she would become. Get her concerned of her own position. In life than her calling. Personal comfort becoming more important than the calling of God. Hallelujah. Satan wants the church. Can we read on? From Ephesians 6 again. Let's go to verse 14. We will be finishing by 12 o'clock. Can we go? Stand therefore, having girded in your waist truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Now when the truth is your truth, is your integrity, it invites the righteousness of God in you, which is imputed through you because of what Jesus did on the cross. It's now his righteousness, not yours. Amen. Amen. Why are you silent? Come on, amen. That breastplate of righteousness was imputed in you because now you're gonna say to yourself, I'm gonna be truthful about my life. My integrity before God is going to be up there. Hallelujah. Let's keep on reading. Verse 15. Hallelujah. Verse 15, please. Verse 15, please. And having shod in your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Pastor Bill, can you just stand up, please? Can you do a kick? Can you do a kick for me? Did his shoes fall off? No. A lot of us want to wear slippers. Wearing flip-flops. Whenever I feel like it. You gotta be ready. All the time. Shod in your feet. Buckled up like Pastor Bill's sandals over there. Buckled up. Holding in place like the pair of shoes that Pastor Bill got. When you kick it, it doesn't fall off. That means I am now ready. I'm always ready to preach the gospel. Verse 16. Above all, taking the shield of faith, which you will be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. Hallelujah. You got to have faith. You know, each one of us was given a portion of faith when we started, and that faith was the one that brought us into Christ, and with the help of the Holy Spirit, now we are moving in faith, for without faith you cannot please God. So he says, take up the shield of faith. Now, Paul was doing all this because he was looking at a soldier, a Roman soldier, and he was using the analogy of what they're using. What they're using as an army. So there are a few types of shields. The round one is the one for combat, the small one. The small one is the one for combat. When you go, oh, yeah, when you do it, yeah, psh, yeah, boom, hit there, and everything. But a big one, the one that is a height of yourself, it only functions well when you do it together with people.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Collective faith. When we have faith. And when you bring your faith and my faith and his faith and his faith together, all the shields put together like this and up on the top. And when they're trying to put bows and arrows on you, it will just come and reach on the shield. He says, take it up. Put it up. Hold someone on this side together with you. That you may quench the fiery darts. That's how he attacks you now. He will look for a gap. That guy's belt is a little bit loose. Let me just tug it. Boom. That guy's breastplate is a little bit floppy. Let me tug it. That guy's helmet is just actually sitting on the other way. You know, the way we wear hats, this way. Now it's facing this way. Now it's facing that way. You're becoming a target for him. He will target you. And if you are not girded properly with what God has given you, he will get you.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. That means this struggle is real, isn't it? This struggle that we're going through is real. So you must put on this armor. Come on, let's read forward. Verse 17. And take the helmet of... Hallelujah. Now, this was what Pastor Ben was talking about last week. A lot of us I have enough with this. I've been salvaged by God. It's okay. And you are like floating, you know, like this balloon floating in the little pool. Only the balloon, you can see the balloon. Take the helmet of salvation. That means you take salvation and you put it in. Yay! Tell yourself you're saved. Tell yourself you've been salvaged by God. Let your mind know that everything you do, it was through salvation. And it is because of by grace you have been saved.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now you'll notice. Now this is the one that I'm going to really come at. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the what? What will the Holy Spirit use if you don't have the word? Come on. If you're not reading your Bible, if you're not studying the word, as it says in Timothy, study to show thyself approved. It is the word that you feed on, that you live on, that becomes the sword of the Holy Spirit. It is the only offensive equipment that is in there. The rest is for protection. That one there is for smashing anything that comes around you. And it is the Holy Spirit that does it, but he does it through the word.
Amen.
Come on, for you that you don't read your Bible, you're going to be coming up here.
Yeah.
For you that just only comes here and listens to the word of God on Sunday, shame on you. You need to read the word of God every day.
Amen.
This is your life.
Amen.
The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. What will the Holy Spirit use when you come through a confrontation? When he looks around, what am I going to use? A confrontation is coming. He ends up with a little dagger. Come on, I'm being serious here. Why am I facing this situation? Why am I going through this? Getting attacked like this? Maybe because you haven't allowed the word of God to live in you. Now, in John 1, in the beginning was the word. And the word was with God. And the word is now the Holy Spirit himself, holding head in hand with his partner, Jesus Christ, the Word, to fight for you. Now, verse 18. All this equipment, from being told to move in the strength and the might of God for prayer. Mama Julie did a prayer thing with us. A lot of us came. Not a lot of us came. Everything that Paul was exhorting the church, you'll notice that there is seven equipments. The last of it, from the sixth, the seventh, is prayer. Pray in all kinds of and supplication in the Spirit, big S, Holy Spirit, who's already in you.
Amen.
Being watchful, being a watchman to this end, and all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Wow. All that equipment for prayer? Yes. Because your battle is on your knees. Get it up. Coming to prayer here on Saturday mornings. I'm expecting, you see, Lisa Marie, I'm expecting you this Saturday coming. All of you here. Because you know what? You have been called to war. God didn't only just give an armor for the sake of just giving it to you. Let's come and war together.
Amen.
Let's come and war together. Let's come and fight this fight together. That situation, that cancer, that diabetes, whoa, whatever, will crumble in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
When we come together in prayer. Brain problem, bone problem, skin problem, whatever you're going through. Financial situations. Come on, let's all rise. Let's all stand. Just a bit.